And now on to this morning's sermon. It is titled, Take a Stand. You know, in order to make it to heaven, I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. In order to make it there, we must be faithful. In order to be faithful, we have to be strong. And in order to be strong, we have to take a stand. And if you look up that word stand in the dictionary, it has an attitude. It's an attitude towards something. And so really, if you talk about taking a stand for Jesus, it's the attitude that you have for Jesus. Attitude's a hard word. So if you define it as a position of your thinking, it's easier. Where is the position of your thinking in relation to Jesus? That's the stand you're taking. And that's where your strength will come. And that's where your faithfulness will come. And so as you have a personal faith in Jesus Christ, it ought to be able to be defined as something that is rooted and grounded. It's not one of them surface things. You know, you plant new grass and it springs up and the roots are shallow and you let it dry out and the sun comes. Gone it goes. You don't have to water trees. I don't know anybody that has a big tree in their yard who puts a sprinkler on it. The roots are so deep and they're so grounded. It doesn't wither so easily. It's rooted and grounded and taking a stand. Amen. And so when you think about your faith in Jesus, it's something that's firmly planted. It doesn't topple over easily. You can't walk up to a big old tree and blow on it and it falls over. When you're in the church and somebody just blows on you and you fall over, it's because you haven't been rooted and grounded in the truth. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. This is such a great book, such a great chapter. We've written songs, modern day songs, straight from this chapter. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the kind of Christian we need to be. And so if you meditate on that and think carefully about that, you'll realize that Jesus is your friend. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Lord. And when you're properly and deeply rooted in the Lord, nothing can take you away from Jesus. No one can take you away from Jesus. You're there to stay. And nothing will affect that. It is a deeply rooted faith. So the winds of change may blow. The storms of life may come. Persecution may arise in your life. It may become unpopular for you to be a Christian. But because you're rooted and bounded and deeply, firmly grounded in the Lord, nothing like that will take you away. You have a deep faith. No one can make you leave the Lord. Open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 6. You know, when you really got a deep conviction for the Lord, everybody around you can leave God. But they're not taking you with them. In the book of John, chapter 6, verse number 60, There were some crowds who loved the Lord for a day. But when the bread dried up, their faith dried up. Chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up from where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered and said unto him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life."
That's right.
Peter said, "Let them all go. Let them all be offended. Let them all blow over. We're not going to anyone but you. We're here with the Lord. We're here to stay." That reminds me of the song leader that didn't like the preacher. The preacher got up one Sunday morning and he was really preaching a sermon. He was under alcohol. And he said, "If I could get all the beer in the world, I'd pour it in the river." And he preached a little while longer. And then he said, "If I could get all the whiskey in the world, I'd pour it in the river." And he really preached a sermon. When he was done, the song leader got up. He said, "Turn in your Bibles to our closing song, 'Let Us Gather at the River.'" It's time to meditate. It's time to make a decision. It's time for a deeply rooted state of mind. Come what may, you will always be a faithful member of the Church of Christ. It is a conviction, a meditation. You have to declare spiritually that you're like a tree planted by the water, rooted to the rock. And because the rock is Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you this morning, the rock's not going anywhere. And if your tree is rooted to the rock, the winds may come and they may blow and that tree may bend, but it'll never topple over because it's connected to the rock, Jesus Christ. That's the kind of faith you got to have. But it's a meditation, a decision. And you got to be like that. You see, we're a peculiar people. We're a people of faith, a people of conviction. We speak where the Bible speaks. We're silent where the Bible's silent. We call Bible things by Bible names. We do Bible things, Bible ways. And we're always going to do that. We're not ashamed of that. We're not ashamed of the New Testament. We're not ashamed of our name, Church of Christ. We're not ashamed of Jesus or to be called His child. And we never will be. And so we know that no matter what, the Lord will stand by us. Never forget it. Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I think sometimes we forget the Lord is right by your side. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse number 14, Paul says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." I don't know about you, but evil's bad. And if you said he did me evil, that's bad enough. Paul says he did me much evil. That must be extra, extra bad. "Of whom be thou aware also, the Lord reward him according to his works. He hath greatly withstood our words." At my first answer, no man stood with me. That means Paul looked around and everybody had skedaddled. I pray God that he may not lay it to their charge. notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You see how great that is? This one verse will keep you faithful for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter what life brings. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what challenges you face, what evil is done to you, what you lose, or even what you gain. The Lord is always there by your side. And watch what he says. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by the preaching Jesus might be fully known, that the Gentiles might hear. And then at the end he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That's Alexander. He said, I never gave up on the Lord. I stayed with the Lord. I stayed faithful. I stayed rooted and grounded in the rock. And God carried me through in the end. He was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord is always right there. There watching. Seeing. The Lord is watching. That reminds me of a story of the elementary school kids that were going through the line. The lunch ladies had a big old pile of apples in a, like a mountain. And they were worried about the kids taking more than one apple. So they told all the kids, you take one apple. One apple. God is watching you. And so the lunch line began. And at the other end of the line was a big old mountain of chocolate chip cookies. And one of the kids had taken a piece of paper out and wrote a note. And here's what it said. Take all you want, as many as you want. God is not watching. He's watching the apples. That's a true story. The last thing that I would ever want the Lord to think of me or to know of me, because he didn't think things, he knows. When he describes me in his heart, is to say, my disciple David is weak and wembly and unstable in his faith. I don't want that. I want the Lord to say, you know, he's trying to be as strong as he can in the Lord. I don't want to be weak and wembly and unstable, blown over so easily at the first sign of trouble, at the first time things get tough. You know, the Bible says about Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What a terrible description. He used to be in Jesus, but he's not anymore. What a terrible thing to hear at the day of judgment. David, Alan, Dominesi, step forward. Oh, there he is. Wasn't he the one that used to be faithful? But he left. I had a friend in the church, went to visit somewhere. Years later, I went back. I said, where's so-and-so? Oh, he's gone. What happened? He loved women in the bottle too much, or women in the bottle more than Jesus. So let's be careful with the kind of faith that we have. Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14. The Bible says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. However, in contrast, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, be courageous, be strong. So let's not be like that. Stand. 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 One of the things we need to be careful to stand for or against is the winds of change in the church. We're supposed to be becoming ashamed of Bible worship. Ashamed of our name. Ashamed of our New Testament heritage and our association together. But I'll tell you what. We together as Christians and disciples of Jesus Christ take a stand. We're not ashamed of Bible worship. We're not ashamed of our name. We're not ashamed of the Word of God. We're not ashamed of our association together. We're not ashamed of our heritage all the way back to the New Testament. And we never will be. We're also going to be standing on the promises. We sing that song, don't we? And when I thought about standing on the promises, I don't know about you, but it doesn't have to be confusing. There's just one promise I need. It's just one promise. I'll stand on that. I'll stay faithful to the end for that one. If God promises, it's going to happen. He's not like your daddy when you were growing up. You say, you know, we're going to go to Disneyland. You ever have your parents do that? Because I did it to my kids all the time. We're going to go to Disney. We got it all worked out. And then things change. You know, you get to work extra at work and you have to disappoint your kids. We can't go to Disney. Raise your hand if you've had to do that. God doesn't do that. If God says it, it's just going to happen. It's just going to take place. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'll come again and receive you unto myself. You hear that promise? That's the promise of heaven. That's the only promise I need. And I'll tell you what, if Jesus said it, it's true. So you can stand on that promise. That reminds me of the old man, rich old man, who died, or on his sickbed actually. He was making plans to take his money with him. And he met a couple of friends of his. He called them in, a doctor, a preacher, and a lawyer. And he said, I know it's never been done before, but I plan on taking a bunch of my money with me. So he gave each of them an envelope with $30,000 in it. And he asked them to put the envelope in his casket at a viewing. In a few months later, he passed away. And after the viewing in the limousine off to the graveside was the preacher, the doctor, and the lawyer. And the preacher started feeling real bad. His conscience was hurting him. And he said, I got a sin to confess. You know that $30,000 he gave me in that envelope to put in his casket. I only put $20,000 in the envelope, in the casket. The church needed a new roof. There was nothing I could do about it. I just did it. And the doctor said, I'm so glad we're confessing our sins because I only put $10,000 in the envelope. I needed a new x-ray machine. And the lawyer said, I'm ashamed of the both of y'all. I just want it to be known. And don't you forget, I put a check for the full amount of $30,000 in that envelope in his casket. That's a true story. And now to the last gear of our sermon. And that's standing against foolishness. There's a lot of foolishness going on. There always has been. And we're going to make a determination to stand against foolishness. And if you look up foolishness in the dictionary, it is a lack of good sense or judgment. You could say a lack of common sense. And foolishness enters in and it corrupts from the inside out. So we're going to stand against foolishness as a determination. First, we're going to make a determination to stand against foolishness in our homes. And it's going to take a person with a conviction to be deeply grounded and rooted enough to be able to take the stand against foolishness. Here's an example. Take a stand against foolishness of filth in your home. We pump it in. It's the trick of the devil. He says, I got a pipeline. I'd like to connect to your home. Can I do it? We say, bring it in. Connect to the pipeline of filth. And it pumps in through our TVs and cable boxes, internet and mail and every other way. Pump it in. And after a while of pumping in all this filth, we wonder how it is that our homes became stained. We wonder how it is that our homes became corroded. How it is that all of a sudden it seems like it's such a struggle to remain spiritual. So let me encourage you to take a stand against the foolishness in your home. It takes strength. You might need bolt cutters. But you just take a stand against it. You know what I'm talking about? Number two, have the strength to take a stand against the foolishness that enters your mind. And specifically, is probably the most foolish thing, the most corrupting thing, the most degrading thing for your mind is the toxicity of negativity. And you can't talk about it too much. If you study the life of Jesus, he was so happy, excited, on fire. It just seemed like a light glowed off of the Lord. People just loved to be around him. The devil wants the exact opposite of that. And so from the devil comes negativity. And we focus on and see all that is bad, all that is negative, all that is terrible and wrong and hurtful and painful and ugly. Not only today, but last year, and the last 5 years, and the last 10 years, and back 30 years when I was a kid. And all of it. And we turn on the news. I like foxnews.com. I got the app. Push the button, it pops up. Coronavirus is gonna kill you. Coronavirus is out to get you. Why you should be afraid of coronavirus. Have you seen this? I gotta turn this off. People are hoarding medicines and masks. They did that with the swine flu. Remember that? Y2K and all these other things. There's nothing good in there. And when the toxicity of negativity takes over your mind and it roots in there and it rests in there, one day you wake up and you say, it's a new day, but I don't feel so good. I wonder why I don't feel so good. I wonder why I don't feel like the light is shining anymore. And you struggle to enjoy the light, and you wonder why. I remember I had a job one time, and a lot of people quit, so they asked me if I wanted to work. I said, sign me up. And I worked 90 hours one week, 37 hours straight. I remember that day. And when I finally got out of that stupid building, I couldn't wait to get outside. It was daytime, and I laid in the grass in the sun. I forgot what it was like to be outside. And I laid there thinking, this is what it's like. What a beautiful thing. Give me the sunshine. And that's what you need when you've done nothing but allow toxicity of negativity and darkness of the world and your life and your troubles and your pains to take over your heart. You need exposure to the light. You need exposure to the Son of God, to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all that is good with this world, all of the blessings that you have today. yesterday, over the last 5 years, and all the good that's been in your life over the last decades, and all the way back to when you were a child. How the Lord has taken care of you and preserved you to this point. And you don't forget to see the blessings in front of you, because you have access to the sun and you're feeling the light. So it's time to take a stand against the foolishness of negativity in your mind. I say it's foolishness. It makes no common sense to wake up in the morning with your morning coffee and drink it thinking about all the bad stuff. Yeah, that's true. I remember that. Or you got a companion to talk about it. Remember that, remember this, remember that, and grumble, mumble, mumble, grumble, pain, terrible. Counseling is great. It's good to talk about things. But what if counseling is only a time for you to bring up all the stuff over and over again forever? Do you bring up good things in counseling?
Yes.
You see what I mean? That's what we got to do. We got to focus. And so in conclusion, forgot one. Mm-mm. That's toxicity, negativity. What did I say? Let's start over. I'm getting so excited. It's taking a stand against the foolishness in your home, taking a stand against the foolishness in your mind, and number three, taking a stand against the foolishness in your life. Now this is important stuff, or else I would just skip it. And that's the bad influences, the people that abuse you, hurt you, belittle you, toxic people. Reminds me of the two sisters who went door knocking one Saturday. They knocked on someone's door to try to hand out Bible tracts, and the woman opened the door and they were talking to her. The woman didn't want to hear what they had to say, so she slammed the door. And the door bounced right back open. So she grabbed it and slammed the door again, and it bounced right back open again. So she grabbed it with two hands and was getting ready to slam it as hard as she could, and one of the sisters said, "Before you do that, you need to move your cat." So let's talk about the foolishness and taking a stand against the foolishness that's in our lives. It doesn't make any sense to surround ourselves with toxic people, toxic friends, toxic family, toxic boss. Someone says, "I got a toxic boss." How long you worked there? 15 years. How long has he been toxic? 14. Let's see. It's the United States of America. And there are jobs everywhere. Why put up with that? I got friends, you wouldn't believe, toxic. That's not your friend. If you're with a friend, quote, and you're done with the time with that friend, and you feel terrible, worse, all worked up, that's not a friendship. That's a toxic relationship that is chipping away at your health, spiritual health and physical health. You got family, toxic. Every time you're together, it's toxic. You feel worse than when before. You said the same thing. I had a friend who said there's some family he will not go around. I guess that's all right. You got to take a stand. It doesn't make any sense. And so in conclusion, you know, those used to be my favorite words when I had to listen to sermons. I just said, "Well, what time is it?" And the preacher would say, "In conclusion, we got to take a stand for Jesus. Take a stand for the Church of Christ. Take a stand for your Bible. Take a stand against the foolishness in your mind, the foolishness in your home, and the foolishness in your life." This morning the sermon is given to you if you're subject to the invitation call. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. You come while we stand and sing.